Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to have you all here inside of our sanctuary. We welcome our friends who are part of our virtual family of faith who are joining us on Facebook Live and also through our church website. So wherever we find ourselves here today, it's great to be together as a church family. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm the senior pastor here. I'm so glad that y'all are in church here today. As we're gathered for worship, we ask you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our little tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. So we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out and connect with us by letting us know that you were here with us in church today. On the back side, you can jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. Certainly write those things down that we can be praying with you and for you every single day this week. We can be covering you in prayer all week long. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering baskets that will be passed later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin. If you are not already at our website, you can find it there. You're also invited to gather up elements of communion as we'll gather around our Lord's table later on in our worship service. We'd love it if you would have communion with us, even though you're worshiping virtually with us this morning. On the very back of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church. We hope that you have stopped by the little table outside the Welcome Center. We're going to be taking pictures here soon for a new church pictorial directory, a little kind of wonderful collection of all the folks involved in the life of our church. Pictures are going to begin being taken here soon, and so we hope that you have signed up for one. If you haven't signed up for a time slot, you can do so after worship today. We're looking forward to Vacation Bible School coming up. You can see the slide on the screen. It's going to be June 11th through the 15th. It's going to be soon after our school is let out. And so we hope that you have signed up your kids or the kids in your family or kids in your neighborhood. We look forward to having a great time at Vacation Bible School this summer. If you haven't signed up already, you can do so by going to our church Facebook page. You can also contact us here in the church office, and we will get you signed up or certainly point you in the right direction. Lastly, we're going to be honoring our graduates on Sunday, June the 4th. And so if you have recently are going to be recently graduating from high school, college, your master's, some kind of certificate program, let us know. We would love to celebrate with you and give thanks to God with you as you've reached this point in your life, maybe the very end of your academic life, or maybe it's kind of one step in your journey in school. And so reach out to us so we can be celebrating with you on Sunday, June the 4th. It'll be a great time together.
Join us in worship, please.
I sing, but do not love. I waste my breath with every song I bring. An empty voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd, but don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love. Have love, then who is poor? It seems all the poverty is found in me. So let my love be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, love is sacrifice. So let my love. the proof of your love. Whoa. When it's all said and done, whoa. When we sing our final song, only love remains. Only love remains. So let my life be the proof. The proof of your love, let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you live, how you die, love and sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love. Can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping, yeah. So come and empty me so that it's you I breathe. I want my life to be only Christ in me. So I will fix my eye, 'cause you're my source of life. I need the world to see only Christ in me.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this day you have given to us. It is great to be able to worship you with our fellow Christian family. Allow us to be renewed when hearing your words today. Allow those words to stay with us this week as we better ourselves so we can help those around us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you are being seated, I invite the children of the church to join me for Children's Moment. Good morning. How are you all doing? That is great. I am glad you are all awake this morning. How many of you like to color? Raise your hand. Yeah? What do you use when you color? Crayons? What do you use? Crayons, yeah? Colored pencils? Colored pencils? And markers, yeah. Well, most of the time when I color, I like to use crayons too. So I brought a box of crayons with me. What do you guys see inside my box of crayons? Colors. Lots of colors. What else? Yeah, but what about my crayons? Are they shiny?
Yes.
Some of them, yeah.
Some are broken.
Some are broken, yeah. And this one doesn't even have a wrapper on it. And this one kind of has like a half wrapper on it, doesn't it? Yeah? No, some of them aren't sharp. This one's nice and sharp and brand new. Are those the kind of crayons you like to color with? The brand new ones? Yeah? Well, just like crayons, the people we surround ourselves with are much like my box of crayons. Some are bright and happy. Some are darker in color. And some of them have nothing on them. They're just plain and simple. But together they make up a box of crayons, much like our church family here. All of us in here today make up our church family. And we all fit together. However, some of us when we're coloring like to use the new crayons because they're still sharp. We do this with people too. We look at them differently. They might be a nice person, but we look past that because they're wearing dirty clothes or they're not dressed as sharp as we are. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we read, My friends, if you have faith in our Lord Jesus, you won't treat some people better than others. We should be careful not to show favoritism in our church or anywhere else. We are all God's children and should all be treated the same, no matter how shiny or dull we look. We are all different because that's the way God made us. So next time you see someone wearing dirty clothes or a fancy dress, make sure you treat them the same way you want to be treated. Treat them with respect. After all, they could be dirty because they're working on a car or in the garden or farm to make food for us so that we can buy it at the grocery store. Or maybe they have on fancy clothes because they're going to a wedding or somebody has passed away. Next time you color, I challenge you to grab the crayons that are dull, that have no wrappers. You might find your picture turns out better than you expected. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to love one another as you have loved us. Help us not to play favorites or ignore others just because they don't look like us. Be with us this week as we work on ourselves so we can treat others with respect. In your name we pray. Amen.
Singing joy to the world.
The first words of the Bible are about God's own generosity. God gave us the gifts of a beautiful creation, the home that we live on, the good green earth, and the animals that live here with us. On this spring morning, we come together to thank God and to offer our gifts so that the ministry of this church will continue to grow and be a blessing to the world. As the ushers come forward, let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Won't you join me in prayer? O God of this new day, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have given to us. Accept these gifts now as sacrificial offerings from all that first belonged to you. We pray your blessing upon these offerings, that they would bless you and your church abundantly. As we watch the earth come awake with vivid spring colors, we are in awe of the seasonal shift your creation endures year after year. We watch what was dead and dry become lush and filled with life. Help us to marvel at these changes so that they can be easy to take for granted. Help us to see the opening flower bud and the unfurling green leaves as your work here among us. And help us to feel the wonder of your amazing beauty all around. We give you thanks for the new life present in newly made nests and hatching eggs. Thank you, O God, for the beauty of this new season. We pray that you would be with us this day as we worship. Be in our prayers, O God. Fill our hearts as we sing the hymns and songs of church. Bless the meal of the table as we partake in remembrance. And open our ears and hearts as we hear a reading from your word today. As we reflect on your teachings through James, we confess that we are prone to judgment. We are quick to make assumptions even when we don't mean to. As we read the guidance to be impartial and to show no favoritism, we ask that you encourage us as we take on this challenging work. Encourage us as we take to heart the command to love our neighbor and do right by them. When we stumble and have missteps, guide us back to this effort again and again. We lift up to you those in our prayers, all who are on our prayer list. We pray for those who suffer from health issues, and we pray for love, that your love would be like a healing balm for them. We pray for those who carry private concerns for friends, family, or themselves. Meet us here in this time of vulnerability and open us to sharing our hearts with you in this space of prayer. We pray for any who may be struggling with various types of life issues, whether mental health or homelessness or need or any other kind of hardship, God. We pray for all who seek help that they would be able to find it quickly and easily. O God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we are in awe of the ways that you bless us each day. Help us to recognize these gifts and see the ways that you are at work in our lives. We thank you for the blessings in our lives. Principal among them, we thank you for the saving gift of your Son. We give thanks for this love and life and sacrifice. We pray all of this in Christ's name. praying the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, as we continue through our sermon series out of the book of James, we open to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. James writes, My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, Have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, Stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
We're continuing here today with our new sermon series called Let's Talk. We are in week 2 out of 5 together. In this series, we are talking about our words and our posts and the messages that we send each other. We are in this, of course, because we know that people know us in life through our job, by what we do for a living. People know us by our family and where we grew up, by what we have going on in life, because we know there are so many things going on in and around us. But we are also known these days by what we say, by what comes out of our mouth, out in public, and even behind closed doors. We're known by what we send by text and what we post online on social media, what we forward and what we share with friends. Very often, we know that these things that we say reflect what's going on in our heart. And so the series is making us stop and reflect and wonder. Do the words we say, the messages we send, reflect the love of God and the ways of Jesus Christ, or something else altogether? And if not, maybe we have some work to do. And so here today, we heard this reading from James chapter 2. Now, as we hear this reading, let me give you a little bit of a reminder on the book of James. If you were here last week, then maybe you heard that in this book that is called a letter by James in the back part of the New Testament, it is labeled as a letter, but it's not really a letter. It's much more like the Old Testament book of Proverbs, like short, pithy little sayings. It's much more like a manual or some kind of handbook that you might get at your job. It is much more like that than it is like Paul's letter to the Corinthians or Paul's letters to the Romans. And so last week we heard point by point, verse by verse, things to do as Christians in community. Listen more, speak less, let the word of Christ be implanted in our heart. And so this week, we get to continue on in the same vein of James not being a letter, because James comes to us as the king of rhetorical questions. Now, I know that for some of us, it has been a while since we were actually in school. It's been a while since we have diagrammed sentences, had to name and label verbs and nouns and adverbs and adjectives, like all those various parts of the English language. And so maybe it's been a while since we were in school and you have forgotten what a rhetorical question is. Well, let me tell you what it is. A rhetorical question is one of those questions where the answer is self-evident in the question. Like, is the rain really wet? Is the Pope Catholic? Do you want to be a failure for the rest of your life? Or don't you know that even though they are in last place, the St. Louis Cardinals are the best baseball team in the whole entire universe? I mean, duh, everyone knows that in your whole entire life. A rhetorical question, of course, the answer is known as soon as the question is spoken. And so we have one today. James gives us this rhetorical question. He says, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Do you, he says, by playing favorites and loving some people more than others, do you, even though you live this way, do you really believe in Jesus? To which we, as the reader, stand in front of James, hat in hand, and we're like, no, sorry, James. We don't mean to say this. It's like whenever our kids have been fighting at home and you tell them to knock it off and like say that they are sorry to each other, apologize, and they're like, sorry, and like they don't believe a single word they're saying. This is what James is like. Do you really believe in Jesus and love God as you are playing favorites? And we're like, well, sorry. Then to drive the point home, James gives us this hypothetical situation. He says, imagine what it is like if someone who is rich and dressed in like the best clothes, driving the nicest car you can buy, comes walking into your church. While at the same time, he says, imagine someone who is dirty and dingy and looks like they haven't showered in at least 10 days, maybe even 10 years. Imagine that they come walking in like they are Pigpen from Charlie Brown. And instead of smelling like Chanel number 5, it's more like Lock and Dam number 5, like something that came out of the river. James says, imagine the person who is rich and you say, come, take my seat, sit right here up front. I love you so much. Take my seat. But to the person who is poor, James is like, you say, stand over there. There's a place for you in the parking lot, maybe across the field. We'd love to have you here, but sit over there. You're not good enough to have a place at the table. James gives us this like hypothetical situation with these rhetorical questions. And we hear what he's laying out before us and we know what the answer is. And we know what to do in response to these questions. I mean, we've heard James say to us that we are to show no partiality. We are to welcome everyone as Jesus himself welcomed everyone. We're not to play favorites and regard some people better than others. Not to choose one group over another group and love some people more than others. Even Jesus says we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We hear that from James today. We've heard it from Jesus, too. I mean, remember that time when we heard how Jesus loved and forgave the woman who was caught in adultery? Remember the time how Jesus loved and brought in that rich tax collector who was loving his money more than God? Remember that time even when Jesus loved his disciple Thomas, who had doubts that the resurrection had even taken place? Jesus loved him still. And we even heard the story way back in Holy Week when Jesus was washing the feet of all the disciples and he even washed the feet of Judas. Even though Jesus knew that Judas would betray him and hand him over to be killed, Jesus loved Judas still. We've heard this from Jesus about being loving and welcoming and accepting the people like he did. About receiving grace upon grace and forgiveness upon forgiveness. We know what to do as Christians, but we still have a hard time doing it. We hear it and we believe it, and yet it's hard to put into practice. James is like, do you, with your playing favorites and loving some people more than others and being kind to other people more than others, do you really believe in Jesus? And we're like, well, of course we do. But what he's doing is making us stop and think. I mean, think about the lives that we lead and the words that we say. That the words that we say and the things that we reflect as we speak to each person at work and at home and are in the line at the store and in traffic, on social media, and the people that live around us. James is begging the question about what life may look like and what our words may reflect if we saw each person around us as a child of God. Just think about how our world and our life may change. I've mentioned before that one of my favorite authors was the guy by the name of Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was a Roman Catholic monk who lived in Kentucky for like 30 years of his life. And he wasn't like normal monks who like move to a monastery and pray nonstop and only keep to themselves and like wall themselves off literally to the rest of the world. Thomas Merton, way back in like the 1950s and 60s, wrote a ton of books about life and worship and prayer. He's one of my favorite authors. And so in one of his books, Thomas Merton talks about a day when he had left the monastery left the small rural town behind where he lived, and he had gone up to the big city of Louisville, Kentucky for an appointment. And while he was there running some errands, he was in like the downtown part of Louisville when suddenly he had this strange and this like mystical experience of God. He said one day he was at the corner of 4th and Walnut in the downtown center shopping district, and suddenly he said he was overwhelmed with the realization that he loved all the people that he saw around him. He said, they were mine and I was theirs, and we could not be alien to each other anymore, even though we were complete strangers. He said it was like waking up from a dream of being separate from everybody else. He said he had this immense joy of being a human being with everybody else, a human being in the same form in which God came in Jesus Christ incarnate. He said all the sorrows and all the stupidness of like the human condition, all those things that overwhelm us, all those barriers are broken down. He said there was no way that he could tell everyone on that street corner that they were shining like the sun. He was so overwhelmed that every person he saw on that street corner was like the Son of God was shining from them and through them. Funny enough, if you still go to downtown Louisville today, there is like a historical marker there, this little spot that's still on that same corner. It's almost like holy ground where Thomas Merton had that mystical experience so many years ago. But for me, this is it. I mean, this is what James is trying to tell us today. What would life look like if our words reflected that the love of God was coming and shining from every person? And so instead of seeing other people as them or those people or people that we do not get along with because of where they live and what they do, instead of talking about our differences and seeing all the ways in which we are separate, James is calling us to be reminded that we're cut from the same cloth, that we are born from the same maker, and to love our neighbor as ourselves because God's love is shining through each one of us. Because the grace of Jesus Christ is poured across each one of us. And so the Spirit of God moves through all of us. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we're so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. For he is the one in which we see you most clearly. We give you thanks for his words and his deeds and his actions, his love of you and all humanity, and his faithfulness until the very end, even though it cost him his life. We're so thankful for this Easter season and the empty tomb and the grace that we receive through you. We pray that your Spirit might be upon us, that our words and life may reflect your glory radiating inside of us and around us and through us. Help us to be beacons of hope, shining lights of grace in all that we do, so that we may show forth your grace and peace and your love for all humanity. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we gather around this table during worship, what a gift it is that this table is a welcome place for all. whether you came in driving that latest model of the nice car or came in feeling more like Pigpen, we are all welcomed here because it is not our table to invite you to. This table is Christ's, and he invites all who believe in him to come and dine and remember him. And so we gather here at this table each and every time we worship, remembering that shortly before Jesus was betrayed and handed over to the authorities, he had gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. And as they ate dinner, he took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He passed it among them, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body for you." He also took a cup which was filled with wine, and he passed it among them. He said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this in remembrance of me. It is for these gifts of bread and cup, of Christ's body and blood, that we now lift up our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray."
Shall we prepare our hearts to receive the emblems? Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, the table is set, and our hearts and minds are prepared to receive the blessings of the bread and cup. We thank you for the hands who prepared them. We thank you for helping us remember the sacrifices made for us. We thank you for walking beside us this week and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed.
Shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet.
I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. No, I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old self inside of me, because that day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and hope that will carry me home.